Today is May 2nd, 2016. This is the Untitled Movie Podcast exclusively on morelikeradio.com with my good friend, as always, Chris Whetton. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm very, very well. It has been more than 2 weeks this time. It has actually been 2 weeks and a day. And once again, because life happens and we were copiously masturbating in our respective houses with beers in hand.
Technically, I was outside your house doing it.
But. That's true. Well, Oh, that's right, you were waving at me. Weird. There were a lot of things that went on between the last time that we were on the movie podcast and this current time, but one thing still remains, and that is that The Jungle Book is still number one at the box office, because apparently it just won't stop making money. It will not stop making money, and so...
Jesus Christ!
It is making a lot of money. I saw it.
Have you did it? See it. Okay, that's right. Okay, all right. Well, then I know that your kids saw it.
Kids saw it. And then up in Nebraska last week, that's where I was.
Okay.
I was unable to do the show. Went and saw it in 3D.
Ooh.
With my wife and her cousin.
Okay.
My wife may or may not have taken a gummy bear from Colorado before she saw the movie. So,
oh, really?
You know, from what I understand, that really adds to the effect of the movie.
Holy shit!
I, however, did not, because I don't do that. But the movie is good enough on its own.
Okay.
The movie
okay.
is really tremendous. Like, I mean, it's nothing... There's nothing surprising. It's Jungle Book.
Okay.
I was sort of misinformed, I guess, because there are songs in it. There is singing. It's really just two songs. You've got the Baloo, the bear. He sings his, you know,
Bear Necessities,
famous song, Bear Necessities.
Okay.
And then King Louie, Christopher Walken, sings his song, which is, you know, I Want to Be Like You, you know, Give
okay.
Me the Power of Man's Red Flower, all that stuff.
And yeah, yeah.
And, you know, everybody knows that we all saw the Fatboy Slim video. Chris Walken's kind of a song and dance guy. And,
yeah, he's very, very talented.
He's extremely talented. And the movie, just from soup to nuts, is really fucking entertaining.
Is it really?
It really is.
Man, I haven't heard one bad thing about The Jungle Book. I feel like I'm going to have to do myself a solid and actually go out and visit the movie theater to watch that movie particularly. But
and I recommend you see it in 3D. Honestly, the 3D, this was not filmed in 3D, it was converted to 3D.
Okay.
But it does seem like they had 3D in mind when they were shooting it. And it's not, it's kind of, I hate to compare things to Avatar. It's actually more like Life of Pi if you saw that in 3D. It's like they don't go out of their way, you know, with like crazy out-of-place depth of field shots and things like that. It just adds to it. It really did add to the experience.
Gotcha. Okay. And then as some of the, most of these movies now, because before I remember that whenever there was an animated feature or anything of this sort, there were always a bunch of no-name actors that were voicing
yeah.
all the characters. But now everyone's. It's ScarJo's
yeah.
in it.
Yeah, you got ScarJo, Ben Kingsley.
Oh, shit.
Ben Kingsley is Bagheera. Bill Murray is Baloo, of course. You know, Chris Walken. Really, really, like, perfect casting. As we said before, you got to hand it to Jon Favreau for, like, you know, making something totally out of the box for him.
Yeah.
He had sort of done, like, kind of like a family movie before with Elf, and,
okay.
and I guess with Zathura, too.
Right.
And then he goes and makes something like Iron Man and Iron Man 2, but really, really great job on his part. Really, like, creative stuff going on in the movie.
Let me ask you this. When you were watching it, because Royce and Marie, who are on the Hippo Juice show, you'll hear them next mm-hmm. at 7 o'clock, they were talking about how when they saw it, you could see the facial features of Bill Murray and or Christopher Walken or
Absolutely.
Whoever else.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really, really impressive because you can tell that there's some motion capture going on.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to have motion capture when it's Gollum or, you know, Caesar from Planet of the Apes, some sort of, like, humanoid figure.
Right.
This is like a fucking panther, you know? Like,
right.
So you got Ben Kingsley's face, but the movements of a cat that are so much like a cat, but this is not, that's not partially a cat and partially CGI. It's a fucking CGI panther.
Yeah.
And the movements of it are so impressive. Same thing with the bear. Same thing with Idris Elba as Shere Khan, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's super fucking good. Like, just a perfect amount of evil. Like, just, like, not over-the-top evil.
Right.
Super fucking scary, you know?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Loved it. Loved it. I would totally watch it again. I recommend everyone go see it in 3D while you still can, because, of course, I think probably there's going to be something knocking it out of the 3D theaters for the most part.
Yeah, summer movies are coming up, and that's when, you know, if you're not hitting it big on that opening weekend, right, or even that second opening weekend, they're going to start
moving you out. That's a problem for them.
Yeah, well, no, and let's bring up this topic too, because we were literally just talking about this before we started the podcast. So this movie, for its third consecutive weekend, which it is again number one at the box office, it made $42.4 million. So it's at $250 million already.
Wow.
That's 3 weeks. Now, Zootopia has also made a fuckload of money as well, and I think you said that you saw that as well, too, right?
I did. Yeah, it's interesting to note, like, two of the best reviewed movies of the year, also the two biggest, you know, grossers of the year.
Right.
Both Disney. Zootopia, super funny, super creative, super original.
Right. Who's the main voice in that?
Jason Bateman,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, if you're a Arrested Development fan or a Jason Bateman fan, like, it is, again, like, they tailor the character to him, and it's perfect. You know,
yeah.
He's really, really funny.
Well, so that one's been uber successful. That came out around early, mid-March, and then this upcoming week will be when Captain America Civil War, and I feel we've been talking about superhero movies since the very beginning of our podcast, which I almost feel apologetic because of it, but at the same time, when you start making other movies like, you know, back in the late 90s when it was a disaster movie every
right.
3 weeks, then we'll talk about disaster movies. At this particular point, it has to be superhero movies.
We got to talk about it. I mean, that's what the landscape is right now.
Yeah. So it did not open here in the United States and North America, but it did open up internationally, and it's already made $200.4 million.
Shit.
Which between that movie and Zootopia and Jungle Book, three titles that Disney all own, $1.24 billion with a B, dollare.
And they're not even done yet. And by the way, that's $200 million just international. That doesn't even include the United States, obviously.
Yeah, so this is my question, is how much do you think it will make opening weekend?
Oh, Christ, I'm so bad at this. I don't even know, what was the last thing that made a shitload of money?
Sure.
Well, Batman versus Superman, right?
Yeah, which made $163 million.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to beat it. I don't know, like, I feel like people are just nuts about these movies. Marvel can do no wrong right now, you know? Like, everybody's going to see it. Shit, I'll be going to see it.
Okay, so wait. Let me put it in perspective. So, Batman vs. Superman,
right.
we both agreed, not a great movie. Not the worst movie ever, but not a great movie.
Yeah.
Made $163 million. Ultron made, I want to say, just a hair under $200 million.
Yeah, it was like $190 million, something.
Yeah, when
like
it
that.
Came out last summer.
Yeah.
Avengers was obviously the bigger box office draw. That opening weekend made over $200 million, which was almost unheard of.
Right.
You know, if you went back in time and you talked to both of us, like, hey, there's going to be a movie that makes $200 million, and we're like, what the fuck is the matter with you?
Right.
And then, of course, Jurassic World, which no one predicted would have been as successful as it was, that ended up making $211, $212.
Crazy.
So those are your kind of guidelines.
Yeah, it's got to be right there. I mean, it's got to be $200 million, I guess.
Like, $200 million.
Yeah. I got to go for $200 million. You know, we're talking about like the Avengers and stuff like that. When Marvel started, it was like they would make an Iron Man movie, and then you get a little piece of another superhero after the credits or whatever. Then they make a Thor movie, same thing. Incredible Hulk, same thing. And they make the Avengers movie. Now this is a Captain America movie. Well, you wouldn't fucking know it watching the previews. Like,
no.
Looks like another Avengers.
Yeah, everybody's in it.
Everybody's in it. You don't have Thor. You don't have the Incredible Hulk that we know of. But you do have Spider-Man. So it's
right.
Like, how, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ. I gotta say it. I mean, it looks good. Everybody's crazy about the preview. $200 million doesn't seem like such a tall order at all.
I'd say $225 million.
You think it's gonna like bust records and shit?
I think so. I think with how fanboyish everyone has gotten over the last several weeks.
Yeah.
With how kind of it touched a nerve as far as Batman versus Superman, and you know, they kind of like, well, it's got to be better. It's got to be better than Batman versus Superman.
Right.
Plus, it's the beginning of the, you know, summer movie period, and so
right.
And usually that's kind of the barometer. Like, it's either going to be a really good summer or it's going to be kind of mediocre. And
right.
I think that in times past, the mediocre summers have started off with the X-Men movies.
Hmm.
From my memory, I think Days of Future Past, and then the other one, First Class. Yeah, they opened up Memorial Weekend, but the last movie that came out kind of around this time that was relatively big. I want to say it was one of the Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was like an early summer release.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so, the thing about Captain America is it's the critic reviews are already in, unlike Batman vs. Superman, again, through the roof. Like, everybody's, like, saying it's one of the best comic book movies ever made, and, you know, I mean, just like Winter Soldier, it's not just a comic book movie, it's, you know, it's a spy thriller, but it happens to have superheroes in it and all this kind of stuff.
Right, well, let me talk about this for a second, because we had a... I didn't have the discussion. You had a discussion with several of our friends that love movies as much as we do, that are also very invested in things that they like and they don't like, and I'm guilty of this, too. I'm guilty of what I like is... great, and
you untouchable.
You cannot, exactly, beyond it's untouchable, approach. You cannot convince me otherwise, your opinion is wrong, etc., right. etc. Now, you had an interesting point to make, and that is where, I think the quote was that there was an article that was written in regards to, hey, you should stop making superhero movies for adults.
Just stop making them so serious.
Right, because, in essence, they're comic books, they're for kids, they're for... you know, like that fantasy mindset, and, you know, it's usually precluded towards, you know, children and everything else. And it was the quote that I read where it said, trying to write superhero movies for children is like trying to write pornography for children?
No. Trying to write a superhero movie for adults is like writing pornography for children.
Can you explain what that means?
I think what the writer meant by that is that, you know, I mean, by its very nature, comic books and superheroes, you know, we get off into this subject, and this is what happened in this conversation on Facebook.
Yeah.
You start lumping superheroes and comic books into the same category, and, you know, the comic book nerds, no offense, I say that with all the utmost respect.
Well, of course. Well, I mean, because...
I'm a nerd about a lot of things.
I appreciate you saying that, because you are a nerd about a lot of things, as well as I am a bunch of nerdy stuff.
I am a movie nerd. I'm a music nerd. You know, I'm a Game of Thrones nerd.
Right.
I'm not a comic book nerd.
Right.
I don't use the term nerd as, you know, as a negative term.
Right.
So anyway, you can't say superhero movies and comic books interchangeably anymore, because we do have... You go into the comic book shop, and obviously, like, maybe, you know... maybe 50% of them are superhero books, in quotes.
Right.
A lot of them are, you know, pretty serious, you know, basically works of literature with pictures in them. They're not necessarily superheroes. So you can't really talk about comic books as they're all for kids.
Right.
Superheroes, on the other hand, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of the writer, the article that we're talking about, superheroes are basically... certainly originally were intended for children.
Right.
And the whole idea of just superheroes is, although it can appeal to adults,
right,
it's kind of something that mostly appeals to children.
Right.
You know, I want to see my hero beat up the bad guy and be victorious at the end. I mean, that's basically how superhero stories work.
Right.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Captain America always wins. And now, again, Captain America has been around for 75 years, so comic book nerds, no offense, all due respect, are going to point to examples of times when maybe Captain America did something that was a little bit, you know, morally questionable, or point to some time when he lost, or maybe he even got killed, I don't fucking know. I mean, it's like Days of Our Lives with the goddamn comic books. These things have been around for 75 fucking years.
Well, no, they have to. I mean, they almost have to kind of write their way out of the hole that they've dug themselves into, case in point, Superman, when they did the Death of Superman series back in the early 90s. But I apologize. Go ahead.
No. That's basically how the conversation got started.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we're reading this article online, and basically what it breaks down to is, don't make movies like Batman versus Superman. Don't make this super serious, grimacing, no laughter, this is serious superhero business kind of movie. Make movies like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Like, it's a superhero movie, but it's fun, it's lighthearted, does not take itself too seriously.
Right.
You know, and you walk out of it feeling great. And actually, it works almost as much as a comedy as it does as an action movie.
Well,
and many great superhero movies are like that.
Right.
My favorite superhero movies are like that.
Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy, probably, you know, the best example, or certainly the most recent example that jumps to mind.
Right. Now, do you think that because Chris Nolan did such an admirable job with Batman Begins, Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, that everyone felt the need, the urge to copy that method that he used to convey that superhero story, whatever character or DC, Marvel, doesn't matter. But now it's like, you know, when Nirvana came out, everybody needed to have their sound, and so you've got all these copycat bands, and some of them, you know, were okay, but then most of them were crap, and then you only had the one-hit wonders.
Right.
So this is kind of along the same lines, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Nolan broke new ground making serious superhero movies.
Okay.
Tim Burton's Batman movie is, you know, it's not a comedy, like, it's fairly serious, you know? However, it's not grounded in reality the way that Chris Nolan's movies were.
Right.
You can go to Blade, pretty serious movie, you know? It's not lighthearted. Yeah. It's not... Even the first and the second X-Men movies are not, you know, lighthearted affairs. There are some jokes in them, but for the most part, they're fairly serious and dark and brooding.
Yeah.
Chris Nolan just fucking did it better.
right.
And so, yeah, I do think that when those movies came out, people started saying, aha, you know, especially after The Dark Knight, not necessarily Batman Begins, but especially after The Dark Knight, I think a lot of filmmakers and probably production companies started saying, aha,
yeah,
this is what people want. They want serious and brooding and grounded in reality and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I think as a result of that, you get something like Guardians of the Galaxy or Ant-Man, which is... really, really lighthearted, does not take itself too seriously, and having fun, which they are called comic books. That's how they got started.
Right.
So, you know, comic book purists and, you know, some of these comic book nerds are going to say, well, that's not what comics are about. Plenty of comics are, you know, for adults, and in fact, most comics are for adults.
Graphic novels.
Graphic novel. Well, that's not what they say. They say comics.
Well,
they say comics are for adults.
I've heard both. I have honestly heard both, sure. And I own both. I mean, and I don't own that many. I'm not proclaiming that I'm a huge comic book, graphic novel, superhero connoisseur or anything, but that's what they're called.
Right. Absolutely. And I would take less, you know, I would not argue as much if somebody said graphic novels are for adults.
Right.
They're not for kids. Because, yeah, that sounds about right.
Right.
But when you use the term comic books, or certainly when you use the term superheroes, I gotta stand up and go, you know, like, you never saw Mark Twain write a superhero story. You never saw, you know, Faulkner or Hemingway, you know, like, these guys didn't write superhero stories.
Right. Now watch someone appropriate one of their stories into something similar to that.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, you see things sort of like that, whether it's, you know, Pride and Prejudice and zombies,
or
Abraham Lincoln versus the vampires, or whatever the fuck we're doing
these days. Vampire Hunter, yeah.
Yeah. You know, but I do think that that's where Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy came from. I think Marvel is smart, and they realize that there is a place for both.
Right.
I personally do think that there is a place for both. I love what Chris Nolan did.
Yeah.
I'm not nuts about what, Snyder has done.
Yeah.
I don't think it works that well. I liked it in Watchmen, but I think it's been diminishing returns since then.
This is what I think. I think that, obviously, movies have gotten a lot better in this vein, in this genre, when it comes to superhero movies from where, you know, like we had mentioned before in regards to Superman. You're not precious to the Christopher Reeve Superman movies.
Not at all.
You would actually prefer Man of Steel as opposed to, you know, Superman 1, 2, 3, Quest for Peace, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but I'm not precious about Man of Steel either. I just don't
care. Right. But the I guess the example that I've heard that is... pretty apropos when it comes to stuff like this, and this actually came from a showgirl friend of my girlfriend and I, and that is this, is that before, she was the only person that she knew when she was growing up, you know, as a elementary school, middle school, high school, that liked Harley Quinn. You couldn't find anything dealing with Harley Quinn. Now, though, you can find Harley Quinn shit everywhere, and the movie Suicide Squad hasn't even come out yet. In fact, there's never been any...
This started way before that.
Well, right, but I mean, there hasn't been any sort of thing dealing with, you know, Harley Quinn or Star Wars or superhero movies, but now you can go into Publix and you can get one of those reusable tote bags, and they've got all kinds of things. You can get BB-8 on a tote bag, whereas before you had to go special order it or get it off of eBay, or, you know, now it's just so prevalent that... it's almost compelling people that have grown up with all these things that they have loved, that they've grown up with as children that they were fans of through their formative years and teenagers, and now they've got disposable income.
Yeah.
Or now they've been, they're all grown up, and so now they're telling their kids, hey, this is the stuff that I liked when I was a kid. Exactly. You should like it too. And now they've also got their kids invested in it, which is just raking in the cash.
Yeah.
That's why Disney was so smart when it came to this whole Avengers Star Wars thing. They bought, you know, $2 billion is nothing compared to the $1.24 billion that they just made this weekend.
Yeah, this is the reason you can see kids walking around, and I'm talking about like two-year-old toddlers walking around wearing Goonies shirts,
right,
or Pearl Jam shirts. You can buy these things, and you don't have to buy them off the internet. You can, right, go to Target and buy your two-year-old a Nirvana shirt.
Right.
Because,
and this, you
all,
want...
this is all part of the same conversation,
yeah,
which is, you know, not to get too serious, but we are part of a generation, and I am 100% guilty of it,
yeah,
that sort of doesn't want to grow up. Like, sort,
yeah,
of doesn't,
no, that...
want to do what our parents did and get all stuffy, and like, I still want to watch the fucking Goonies, and the Goonies is one of the best fucking movies ever made.
Right,
like,
right.
That's, I have really
awesome,
not.
You know? I have an awesome album collection, and you will see by my child that is walking in with a Dead Kennedy shirt,
yeah,
you know, with a little onesie.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like, The Cure. Like, oh, your toddler listens to The Cure? Jesus Christ. No, but I mean, you know, and this is where it comes from.
Yeah.
You know, I read comic books when I was 13.
Yeah.
I sort of grew out of it. There's plenty of other shit I did not grow out of. Like,
right,
plenty. Fucking Nirvana, which I listened to when I was 13.
Right.
I haven't grown out of it. You know,
yeah,
like, many, many of the movies that I watched as a kid.
Yeah.
I do love the Goonies, you know. I do still fucking watch Pete's Dragon when my kids aren't at home. Like, just because I want to see it. Or
yeah,
the,
yeah,
animated Robin Hood movie. The,
yeah,
Disney Robin Hood movie. You know, we're part of a generation that doesn't want to let those things go. I think way more so than previous generations. I don't think, like, it's just bizarre to me to even imagine our parents hanging on to pop culture like we have. You know, I mean, they sort of did it with music a little bit, but not the way we do with movies and comic books and TV shows and things like that.
Yeah,
it's just,
and,
our generation.
Well, there's no avenue for them to do it though, because,
yeah,
it's completely overtaken by all the stuff that we used to like,
yeah,
that is now being appropriated into serious money making franchises now.
Yeah,
I'm sure that if there were a way for, you know, the parents to buy a Laugh-In shirt or a Live with Johnny Carson,
right,
you know, tote bag, they would probably,
right,
do it.
Jason,
but,
versus the Argonauts.
Yeah, yeah. They would probably do it, and there's probably stuff out there. And so, thank you. You're welcome for the $1 million deal. But I don't know. I mean, I just think that, especially with, not only because of the stuff that we grew up with and also the fact that we have disposable income, but, you know, like we were mentioning before, again, with Batman versus Superman, or any of these movies to begin with, they're really, really well made. Doesn't necessarily,
yeah,
mean that the content is going to be, you know, off the charts or, you know, Shakespearean or that type of thing, but it just looks so good. If you, again, go back to footage from Spider-Man, for example, from,
right,
the television show or the movies, the made-for-TV movies,
right,
and it looks like shit. Now you've got them catching Captain America's shield,
oh, yeah,
dropping down, and I feel like I'm Deadpool, like, ooh, it's,
yeah,
a superhero drop.
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice landing.
No, and that's what I was trying to say to these guys on the internet, which is,
yeah,
I like these movies. Don't,
yeah,
get me wrong.
Yeah.
And I probably like most of these movies.
Yeah.
I just sort of wish, I'm just a little bit burnt out on superhero movies. I wish they were sort of fewer and far between and,
yeah,
better. Like anything, if you make too many, they're, you know, I don't know about Doctor Strange, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
maybe it's going to be good, maybe it's going to be fun, but do we need a new superhero movie every month? Which is what we get at this point,
yeah,
you know? And I just feel like it's kind of, I wish the culture wasn't so obsessed with it. I feel about superhero movies the way I feel about guns, which is like, I'm fine with them,
yeah,
you can have them, I,
yeah,
don't want to take them away,
right,
but maybe our culture is a little bit too obsessed with them.
Well, and, you know, the other thing, too, is that I look forward to the summer movie season, but I don't because there's so many sequels, so many
it's
this,
exhausting,
so many that. Yeah, and I don't have kids.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to have kids. But I also don't watch television traditionally like some other people do where they've got commercials and they're being inundated with all kinds,
right,
of trailers and all this sort of thing. So the information that I get from movies is via the internet, via Twitter, Facebook,
right,
Instagram, like weird spots. But even in those spots, all you see, hey, what's Chris Evans going to be talking about with Robert Downey Jr.? Hey, Robert Downey Jr. is going to possibly do Iron Man 4. Oh, he's going to be in the new Spider-Man Homecoming movie, and like over,
right,
and over again. It's almost like the NFL. The NFL is only from September through February, but you hear about it all the time because they it never stops.
Right.
There is no off season. So there's no off season with superhero movies, or at least right now, until something tanks, or there's literally, like, what is it going to take for this to stop?
Yes.
Like, no, I'm asking.
I don't know. It's going to have to take several of these movies being terrible in a row,
right,
or maybe just one gigantic terrible one,
right,
and you know, and you're onto a really good point there, which is these movies have a marketing blitz that starts 2 months before the movie comes out.
Two months before the movie starts getting produced.
Yeah,
like before Spider-Man Homecoming is even the first reel has not even been put into the camera, and they're already talking about Michael Keaton's going to be the Vulture, and this kid, I have no idea what his name is, he's going to be Spider-Man, and it's going to be called Homecoming, and now everyone's in an uproar, but you're still talking about it,
I'm talking about it,
and that's kind of the thing. That's
no
the
doubt.
Thing, like, yeah.
Yeah, if you talk about it that way, yes, they do have a marketing blitz that goes a year and a half before the movie.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the real, like, hard, what we're in with Captain America right now,
yeah,
like the hardcore, everywhere you turn,
yeah,
you can't see anything that does not have Captain America's shield on it,
as
we did with Star Wars a couple months ago. And
right,
I lump Star Wars into the same nerd category, by
right,
the way. You know, it's basically the exact same type of movie.
Right.
And so when you have one of these things coming out every month,
yeah,
and the marketing blitz starts 2 months prior and ends 1 month after the movie,
right,
it's like you're, for the casual viewer like us,
yeah,
the non-comic book nerd, the non-superhero nut, it's exhausting. Because for me, I go see it one time and I say, yes, I enjoyed it. Now I don't want to hear anything else about it again. But it doesn't work like that.
Right.
You're being inundated with it,
yeah,
as we were with Batman vs. Superman. You and I both went and saw it, and we both said, okay, you know, fine. You know, like, enjoyed it for 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah,
probably
sure,
won't ever see it again.
Probably
but,
not.
You know, didn't hate it. But we can't stop talking about it. And I don't just mean you and I. I mean the culture.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Captain America. We don't do this with other movies that are making a lot of money. Like, you know, and I guess that's because they don't have that kind of fanboy culture around them. We didn't do this with Zootopia. We're not really doing it with Jungle Book. It's not like everywhere you turn, there's like fruit in the fucking produce section that's, you know, made to look like Baloo the Bear or something
yeah,
like that. But comic book movies, superhero movies, the sci-fi action blockbuster type movies.
I mean, anyone that, let me just say this, you know, because I'm coming up on my 20th high school reunion that'll happen next year.
Oof.
And I know, right? Thank God I don't look as bad as other people. But anyway, so the term nerd was thrown out kind of willy-nilly, you know, it's not a term of endearment, but I would say that if you're calling somebody a nerd now, it should be a term of endearment because all the stuff that they like, everybody likes. Everybody wants to like it.
It is
even,
a term
even,
of endearment.
Even your parents or your grandparents or the jock that used to, you know, like give you a wedgie or a swirly in high school,
right,
he's trying to rock a BB-8 or a Kylo Ren t-shirt,
absolutely,
or a Captain America. I'm on Team Cap, bro.
Oh, listen, I've literally got like 6 fucking Star Wars shirts, and I just bought another one last weekend. They had this fucking Chewbacca tank
yeah,
top at Walmart. I could not buy it. It was $7 fucking. So I get it. It is a term of endearment.
Yeah.
I genuinely use the word nerd when I say comic book nerds. I'm not even a comic book nerd, but I use it as a term of endearment. Like, eh, you guys are the comic book nerds. I'm one of the Game of Thrones nerds, or I'm a Star Wars nerd.
Right.
Whatever. I can't even imagine using the word nerd in an actual negative connotation. Like I'm, you know, like some fucking high school jock from the 80s. Like, hey, nerd! You know,
yeah.
I can't do that. No, it's a term of endearment.
Gotcha. Well, all I know is that Captain America is going to make a shitload of money, and it's going to make at least $200 million, according to what we're predicting. And so,
talking about the first week, what's it going to make all told? It's going to be, you know,
I don't know. I mean,
these movies do blow their wad in the first week, generally.
Yeah, and it's because of the nature of I want team Cap or Iron Man. It doesn't matter. I want my team to win. I want this movie to win and break all kinds of records. And so it's gonna make a shitload of money.
I think the
only other thing at this point right now that has as much kind of, you know, like talk you know, amongst the zeitgeist when it comes to like everybody loves it is Game of Thrones.
Yes.
We'll touch on this very, very briefly by saying that we're not going to spoil anything. Please watch the damn show. But
I think people are either in or out at this point.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that podcast.
Oh, no, I don't mean we should spoil things. I mean, when you say please watch the show, You're talking about last night's episode.
Last night's episode, the series in general, I think it's probably past Breaking Bad as far as my favorite show.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just, it's so good, well-written, so many characters. Now that they've gone away from the books, which was a big contention, a point of contention with the people that were reading the books, had read the books, waiting for all the people that hadn't read the books, like myself,
right,
to watch all the movies, you know, not the movies. Well, it feels like a movie because...
It does, yeah. Well, it's, you know, 60 hours long at this point. No, the people who'd read the books, like, I had to sit there, you know, knowing what was going to happen.
Right.
And, you know, like...
Right, about weddings and people dying and, yeah, poisoning and you killed my mother and all this other stuff.
Yeah, we can't spoil it, but last night was a great episode. The show is fantastic. But what I mean is people are either in or out at this point. Like, I don't think you can talk somebody into watching Game of Thrones that's not already watching it.
Right, but... I bring it up not only because of the previous point that I just made, but I know that I think you're the only other person that I know besides... No, actually, you're the only other person I know besides my girlfriend that went to go see Game of Thrones when it was in the theater. Because they had the children and...
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
Fuck.
I wanted badly to, but I just never got around to it.
But Game of Thrones is supposed to end... in season 7, and they're doing that weird, stupid breakup season thing
and
where...
Breaking Bad did it, too.
Yeah, Breaking Bad did it, Mad Men did it, Walking Dead does it all the damn time.
Yeah.
But they're going to split... Yeah. but they're going to split up the last season into 6 or 7 episodes, but what your suggestion, very good suggestion, I might add, and the best way to maximize the dollar is that if you want to go out, like this show should... go out with a bang and put the last 2 or 3 episodes, the final 3 episodes of the series on the big screen.
Hell yeah.
Like, make it a mint, because I know I've got some Game of Thrones shit that I can wear.
I would go see this thing so many times.
Yes,
I
watch
every episode at least 2 times before the next episode airs.
I literally watched the last episode that happened last night again before you came over.
And I nerd out and I watch, you know, After the Throne, now the new post, you know, Game of Thrones TV show.
Oh.
And I get on the internet and fucking jerk off to everything that's
funny. Right, right. Every single article that's ever been written in the last 15 minutes.
Game of Thrones.
I must have all the knowledge possible. I've become a maester, ironically enough. So.
Absolutely. I was fucking nerding out for like an hour and 45 minutes after that show last night. I just had Silicon Valley paused for an hour and 45 minutes while I fucking jizzed out to the fucking internet.
Yeah, it's really good. And, strangely enough, you know the actress Amanda Peet?
Yes.
She is married to one of the showrunners. I can't remember if it's David Benioff or D.B. Weiss, but she apparently had made the infamous comment, I want to say it was on Jimmy Fallon, or maybe it was, it was Jimmy Fallon, that she was talking about how, at the very beginning of the show, that she was talking with her husband, oh, you want to make this show about dragons and damsels in distress? That's not going to do anything. It's not going to take off. And now I'm sure she's just kind of rolling around and fuck you money.
Well, sort of famously, I think many people that got into the show, and I did not read the books before I ever saw the first episode of the show. Like, I watched the show first, got about 2 seasons in, and was like, fuck this, I need to know what happened. That's when I read the books. But I think sort of famously the rap on the show is, it's tough to get into. It's not like you watch the first episode and you're hooked to the first episode of season 1. That show doesn't work like that. As a matter of fact, I tried to watch the first episode like 3 times before I got through it. And I've talked to many people who had similar experiences. It's not till you get like, seriously, like 4 or 5 episodes into it till you really start to understand. There's so many characters, there's so many storylines that do not weave together. Some of them... still fucking haven't woven together yet. It's
In fact,
you can see where they're going.
Yeah.
But, and some of these things you could see from season 1, we just haven't gotten there yet. And it's crazy how fucking enormous this, you know, whole series of books and series of TV shows is. Like, it's really a credit to the showrunners, but first and foremost, George R.R. Martin, who's the writer of the series.
Yeah, and I've actually kind of surprised myself when I've... watch the show, and usually I'm just very, very dumb. I'm a dumb guy, Chris. So I don't think I remember things. But then I'm going back. Oh yeah, that's so and so who's the firstborn of this one, and they got killed because of so and so betraying this guy and that guy. And I'm naming all the names.
Yeah,
all pronounced correctly, by the way.
Oh yeah,
and hundreds I'm even saying names. Like. Holy shit, I'm a fucking Game of Thrones nerd.
I'm a straight up Game of Thrones nerd. Listen, there's a lot of you're not dumb. There's a lot of fucking characters, there's a lot of storylines. I have seen every episode of the series. I have read all the books, and before this season started, I had to go back and sort of power watch the whole series again.
Yeah, I remember that you did that, and you were commenting like, "Hey, can we all agree that this episode or this season's like, nah, it's not that great?" But then it's all building on the foundation that we're at right now. Where
exactly.
Last night, I swear to God, like we're losing our damn minds when we're watching over at Royce and Marie's house because
the pieces are all coming together.
Yeah,
and it's insane how well they're coming together,
and they're moving coherently at a breakneck speed because they're not beholden to the books anymore because it's all, like you said, uncharted territory.
Well, they've said that they have, like, a general outline from George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
They don't have, you know, his text anymore to just pull from. So they're basically going to take that outline and do what they want with it. I'm sure he's still very involved in the running of the show and all that kind of stuff.
When he's not drowning in Hollywood pussy, but that's besides the point. Speaking of, well, not speaking of Hollywood pussy, but do you know the actress Amber Heard?
Yeah, yeah.
She's pretty hot, right?
Yeah, she's cutie.
She's cutie? All right. And she's obviously very cute because she's married to somebody 20 years her senior. That would be Johnny Depp. Mm. And apparently Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, some time ago, had gone to the country of Australia and had tried to sneak in dogs and had forgotten to claim them or note them. And so facing jail time, I guess the Australian government had politely provoked the Mr. and Mrs. Depp to make a video on behalf of the situation that they had, unfortunately gotten themselves into, or, you know, they were just stupid enough to not do the things that normal people like you and I would do because, you know, they're movie stars. Captain Jack Sparrow cannot get away with everything, Chris.
Sure.
And so, and I know that you saw this.
I did.
And it's only a minute long, so this is probably one of the best acting gigs that I've ever seen Johnny Depp in. But let me play it for you right now, just for a reminder.
This is Louise. She's refreshed.
Oh, my gosh. Well, after the ads.
Yeah, they've got to have an ad in there, of course.
Yeah. But when I saw this...
Like he's over there filming a Pirates movie or some shit, right?
Pirates 5.
Oh, Jesus.
On dark water, dark territory, with Steven Seagal bullshit, I don't know. But he's making more money than God. He's got his own island. And I know that at one point he was saying, yeah, I watch YouTube videos that pass the time on my island in Ibiza. But anyway, you gotta hear this because it is one of the most surreal things that I've ever seen, let alone heard.
It's a wonderful island with a treasure trove of unique plants, animals, and people.
It has to be protected.
Australia is free of many pests and diseases that are commonplace around the world. That is why Australia has to have such strong biosecurity laws.
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct. When you disrespect Australian law, they will tell you firmly.
I'm truly sorry that Pistol and Boo were not declared.
Pistol and Boo? Pistol and
protecting Australia is important.
Declare everything when you enter Australia.
It's not just a radio PSA. Like, there's a video, and Johnny Depp looks like he's on fucking Thorazine while he's filming it.
Johnny Depp does not enjoy himself in that video.
No.
At all.
He's taking, like, acting lessons from Sly Stallone in the video, like, it has to be protected.
Well, he is, what, 49?
Yeah, something like
that.
You're
looking a little haggard there, Johnny. So maybe not drink rum to be a method actor or something to that effect. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but I also know that while we were gone, there were some trailers that came out, and I wanted to get your hot take on... Well, they're obviously coming out this summer, but there was a new X-Men trailer that came out. I don't know if you saw that one. X-Men Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
Right. To the point where, apparently, the director, Bryan Singer, has come back to address all the complainertons that are talking about how, well, Apocalypse doesn't look like How he looks in the comic books or in the TV show, et cetera, et cetera. Again,
this started from the first picture that was released.
Yeah, yeah. So, but new trailer came out. I don't know if you saw it, but
I saw it.
What'd you think?
I think it looks fine. It looks like an X-Men movie. You know, I mean, again, this is like comic book nerds. They're like, he's too pink or he doesn't look right and all this kind of stuff. It's like, I loved Bryan Singer's response to it. It was like, you know, I got this when I hired Hugh Jackman. Yeah. I got this when everybody saw Quicksilver's outfit. I got this time and that time. And guess what? You all loved it. And he's got a point.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, like, I mean, I'm not nuts about these movies. I'm not nuts about Bryan Singer.
Yeah.
But he's obviously fairly good at making them, even though if he did do these last two sort of on the shoulders of Matthew Vaughn, Matthew Vaughn kind of redirected him on how to make these movies.
Well, Matthew Vaughn is also a skilled movie maker that has made no duds, to my knowledge.
No duds, no. So not only no duds, but all really solid movies that he has directed.
Different movies, too.
All very different.
Yeah.
And he could pretty much do anything he wanted. He's very sought after. And he was a producer, successful producer, even before he was a director. Produced Snatch, produced several of the Guy Ritchie movies.
Okay, what about a new extended trailer came out for Independence Day Resurgence?
Who cares?
Well, again, they're going to make more of these because there's a whole universe out there to be had, Chris, and so...
I don't know, man. Sometimes shit bombs, and I'm not saying that this is going to bomb because I probably would have said the same thing about Jurassic World last year and it would look like a fucking asshole.
Right.
But I have zero interest in seeing another Independence Day movie.
I don't care.
Do you give a shit?
I feel like everybody, I mean, especially Jeff Goldblum, I feel like everyone's kind of going through the motions and they're all playing, it's not Will Smith, it's replacement Will Smith, or it's replacement this guy, or replacement
Absolutely.
That guy.
Absolutely. And not only that, Independence Day hasn't aged well. You never hear people talking about Independence Day being a great movie. People remember it. It was fun.
Right.
It was the superhero movie of its time in 1996 or whatever it was in that summer.
Right.
People went and saw it. They liked it. But it's not a movie that has aged well. It's sort of known for sort of kickstarting Will Smith's movie career and, you know, some funny stuff with Jeff Goldblum that you kind of remember, but not really. You know, it's not like the aliens weren't even that fantastic, you know? Like,
no.
The aliens were kind of silly.
Yeah.
And it's not scary. Not that funny.
Okay.
Nobody gives a shit.
All right. Well, let's move on from the summer fair. And how about the... Oh, I'll tell you what. The new trailer for the Magnificent Seven reboot.
Mm.
With Chris Pratt and Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke. And it's directed by Antoine Fuqua, right?
Yep.
Who directed The Equalizer and Training Day and...
Nuts about The Equalizer, but I like a lot of his other stuff.
I like The Equalizer. It's good, stupid fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine, but it was not on par with something like Training Day. Like, Training Day came out, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This guy's a fucking director. Like,
yeah.
I really thought he would continue to make movies on that level.
Right.
He hasn't made movies quite on that level, but he's a solid director. He makes solid movies. Equalizer is a solid movie, you know? It's fine.
Yeah, I like watching Denzel kick ass.
Yeah. I'll watch Denzel do anything.
Yeah.
And even, like, Tears of the Sun with Bruce Willis. It's like, is it like the greatest movie ever made?
Right.
No, but it's all right. It's not bad. You know, you can watch it on cable.
So what'd you think of the trailer then?
I thought the trailer was cool. I thought it looked really cool.
Right.
I love the cast. Like, I'll fucking see Denzel Washington in anything. Like, you say you love to see him kick ass. Like, I would watch him, you know, get up there and read the fucking Great Gatsby. Like, you know, like, what's his name? Man on the Moon.
Leo?
Andy Kaufman, yes.
Nice.
No, I would watch Denzel do fucking anything. Yeah.
Okay.
And then people got all up in arms about this. Fucking idiots.
Oh, right, because the reboot.
The fucking reboot of Magnificent Seven. How can you fuck with that movie?
I saw a meme where they were talking about, how dare you you're something precious. And it's Seven Samurai.
Hey, assholes.
From Kurosawa's movie.
Hey, dipshits. That movie that you love so much that you're saying shouldn't be remade? Fucking remake.
Yeah, people
don't.
Dumbasses. Well, I mean, it's on the internet, so it must be true.
Shit.
Or they don't do the research in depth to learn about the... Anyway.
Yeah.
So, what about... did you watch the trailer for The Infiltrator?
The Infiltrator?
The Infiltrator, which has...
feminine product?
No. The Infiltrator, which is Bryan Cranston.
Ooh.
True story, apparently, about how they had... did what he did and infiltrated the Colombian cartel during the 1980s. And I mention all this because it was actually filmed, parts of it were filmed in Tampa.
Oh, yeah. This is the one that was filmed in Tampa. Part of it, anyway. Yeah, shit. You had me at Bryan Cranston, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, you could have been like, it's Bryan Cranston and Barney the Elephant, you know, and they're reading children's stories. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like,
now I will say that it looks all right. Like, it didn't look like anything that hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
And as much as I love to pride myself on my peoples, my Colombian peoples and
and your Tampa peoples.
Oh, you know, Blow or Scarface or Narcos. I don't know if you've ever watched Narcos on Netflix.
No, but I know of it, yeah.
It's a pretty good show. You can make anything out of those movies. Cocaine Cowboys, for example, and I would watch it.
Everybody loves Cocaine Cowboys. And Cocaine Cowboys 2.
Reloaded, that's right.
Speaking of Cranston, though, see the preview for his new Lyndon Johnson movie on HBO?
Gah, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, it looks exactly like
him. He looks exactly fucking like him. I want to see that shit. That looks really good.
I wonder if they'll include all the stories that I've heard about LBJ.
Oh, no doubt. Like, all over the top, inappropriate, like, talking to people while he's on the shitter and stuff like that.
No, the one about, I guess, if I'm remembering correctly, like, he got into it with his plumber. The plumber for the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Where the plumber almost quit, and he had to talk him back, and he was berating him and all this stuff, because apparently LBJ was just hung like a goddamn horse. Like,
yeah.
Fucking big 10-gallon hat to match his big horse cock. And so they had the plumber install...
The state of Texas.
Yeah. Right? They had the plumber install, like, super hot, like, PSI, like, off-the-chart faucets for his bathroom and his shower that would just, like, directly, like, hit his fucking dick and balls.
Yeah.
And he wanted it hotter, and he wanted it, like, to hit with more fucking pressure, and I guess the plumber and LBJ, the president of the United States, the president of the free world, my balls need proper massaging with this fucking this fucking faucet thing, so.
He was sort of famously a very vulgar man, like, invited people in to meet with him, like, serious political meetings, like, while he was on the shitter.
Nice.
Like, had a famous, like, quote about the Senate and the House of Representatives. He's like, you know, the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives is the difference between chicken salad and chicken shit. Not to turn this into a political podcast.
Of course
here,
not.
But,
no, we are.
Lyndon Johnson is a really interesting guy. And
we are above
Cranston
that.
Play him. I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, we are above that. That's why we talk about superhero movies every podcast that we do get.
Super Lyndon Johnson.
And then finally, I know that you are just as jazzed up as I am for this movie, Jason Bourne.
Oh my god!
Now let me tell you something. I don't get excited for a lot of things. The Civil War movie I'm probably going to watch at some point. I'll probably watch it Thursday night for the opening weekend, only because it's more convenient to watch it that way as opposed to trying to, you know, go through the kids and the families and all that shit. I don't want to deal with that. Nothing's really exciting me aside from, you know, a couple of movies here and there, like Popstar or, you know, this movie or that. Jason Bourne, though, oh my god.
Dude.
This looks pretty good. And also because you've got Paul Greengrass, you've got Matt Damon, you've got Julia Stiles coming back in whatever role that she's in. I can't remember what her name is. You've got new old bad guy, white guy, Tommy Lee Jones. He's taken over David Strathairn's.
Vincent Cassell, man.
Oh, that's
Vincent
right.
Cassell is a fucking villain in this movie. Like,
you think he's mad because he did him wrong in the Ocean's movies? Is that what it is? Ocean's 12.
Hopefully, him and Damon will have another fucking Eastern Promises type fight in this one too. Yeah. Like he did with Vigo. Yeah.
Cox
flopping around and shit.
Did it ever come out as far as why Matt Damon and Paul Greengrass decided to re-up?
I have no idea. I have no idea. And I don't give a shit. And here's the part where the comic book nerds are going to be like, well, what's the fucking difference between this and superhero?
Yeah.
Nothing, really. Nothing.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely a nerd about this. I would like you said, like, hey, you know what? We're going to put on the Bourne Identity, and 12 hours later, like, well, we're done.
Yeah.
Because you just watch the Bourne Ultimatum.
I assume that, like, I about once a year, or maybe more, watch all three of these movies, and I assume now, in the years to come, I'm going to be watching four. Like, I hope so.
Yeah, and speaking of which, since it is a spy movie, so last weekend we couldn't do the podcast because you were in Nebraska. I was watching Half Naked Women Dance in Ybor as part of a burlesque show called Femmes and Follies, and their theme was spies. Spy movies. It was called Spylesque. And they had different things that were playing on the screens prior to the show and different inspirations where, you know, someone did the Skyfall song, and they did the song from Spectre, and someone did Molotov Cocktails from Venture Brothers, and someone did Austin Powers. And so I wanted to find out from you, what are some of your favorite spy movies, favorite espionage movies that you know, that you hold dear?
Well, Jason Bourne, of course. As we just discussed. I'm not, like, nuts about spy movies. I like the Tom Clancy stuff. Really, I like the first three. I mean, I like, you know, Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, and Clear and Present Danger.
Okay.
Not so much Sum of All Fears, although it was just announced that John Krasinski is going to take over that role for a TV show.
Okay.
The Jack Ryan role. But recently, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., really fucking strong shit.
With Armie Hammer and...
Henry
Cavill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Really, really good stuff. Guy Ritchie. Previously mentioned, Guy Ritchie. Super fucking funny. Like, typical Guy Ritchie. Like, you know, action takes a backseat to comedy, really.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but the action's still there, so it makes it interesting.
Right.
Henry Cavill has, like, serious fucking comedy chops. I loved it. What about you?
I don't know. I was trying to think movies that haven't necessarily come out recently that that kind of resonated with me. The Spanish Prisoner.
Spanish Prisoner is a great fucking movie.
With, is it Steve Martin and,
yeah.
What's his name?
Gosh.
Campbell. His last name's Campbell.
Campbell Scott. Campbell's his first name.
Campbell Scott, that's right. That one's pretty good as far as my opinion is concerned. I know that you and I both agree on Ronin.
Oh, I forgot about Ronin.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Which is probably on par with the Bourne movies as having some of the best car chases ever on film.
Yeah.
More so than French Connection. I know that we had mentioned French Connection on the...
Yeah, that was kind of, you know, like the starter pack for car chases. But Ronin, Bourne movies, that's where it's at.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, I just found it very interesting. I've watched the James Bond movies, but I'm not, you know... I like GoldenEye because you and I used to play GoldenEye all the damn time.
Oh my god.
When we were up...
Pistols, Temple.
That's right. That's right. Golden Gun, too.
And the Golden Gun.
Golden Gun. You always gotta... Because, come on. You gotta reload like a little bitch. But yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting as far as, you know, themes. And there's always going to be shows that I'm associated with that always pick from themes. In fact, we had a high school talent show theme... that we did for this other troupe that I'm affiliated with, Big Bang Boom Cabaret, and we did, one of the girls, Appletini, had done a Napoleon Dynamite routine, and again, like I had mentioned before, I don't grow facial hair for fun, like you, so I grew a child molester mustache, and I was Pedro Martinez, Vote for Pedro.
Vote for Pedro.
If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams come true, so yes.
Wow. Yeah, spy movies is one of those things that, like, doesn't get done well enough, often enough. When it gets done right, like Bourne.
Right.
Or Man from U.N.C.L.E., or especially Hunt for Red October,
right.
That trilogy, then, you know, it's really awesome. But, doesn't get done right.
Well like, enough. What the hell's his name? Wasn't Treat Williams in a bunch of spy movies or some crap?
Was he? I don't know.
I don't know. Like,
the thing about a spy movie is, like, the main guy, you have to believe that he's super fucking intelligent. And I think that's probably the common theme among those movies that we named. Specifically, like, Bourne and, like, Hunt for Red October.
So Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins, wouldn't necessarily count.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be, like, you know, really great, like, you know, like, I don't know, like...
Or, like, Cloak and Dagger.
Cloak and Dagger, yes.
Okay.
You watch Hunt for Red October, and Alec Baldwin truly seems like he might be, like, the CIA's, like, super genius guy. Like,
right.
You know, who just seems like this mild-mannered, aw-shucks guy with a family.
Right.
But really seems like he might be the most fucking intelligent guy you've ever met. Like, you have to buy that, you know?
Right. Okay. Well, let's see. I think to end our podcast, the Untitled Movie Podcast, which is on... morelikeradio.com, and the Hippo Juice Show will be coming up in a couple of minutes, but this is not necessarily movie-related. Neither was Game of Thrones or Burlesque or any of the things that we talk about. We can just talk about whatever the hell we want.
When you
want to make a podcast, you can talk about whatever the fuck you want.
Go
fuck yourself. You want to... Like Alec Baldwin talks about in The Departed. That's right.
Alec Baldwin. Yeah.
But something very significant happened in the entertainment world last week, and everyone lost their goddamn minds, as they should,
yep.
because Prince Rogers Nelson unfortunately passed away at his home in Paisley Park. And while he may not have been necessarily in movies, I mean, he was in Purple Rain.
No, I mean, he was in Purple Rain, which was, like, you know, very successful, beloved movie.
Right.
And Graffiti Bridge, less so, but people fucking love that movie too.
Did the goddamn Batman soundtrack.
And he did the fucking Batman soundtrack. For our generation, that's kind of how I really first gave a shit. You know what I mean? Like, the Bat Dance video, like, you want to talk about, like, the blitz of marketing for a movie?
Yeah.
You don't do it like that anymore, because there is no fucking music videos, not really.
Right.
But at that time, that was as popular as the movie. Like, Bat Dance was, like, I don't know if it was number one, but it was all over the radio and all over MTV.
Yeah.
And it was really fucking cool. He's, like, all dressed up in the video and shit, you know?
Yeah, and, you know,
and his music's in the movie.
To his credit, I mean, his, you know, like, for example, if you try to look up anything in regards to music videos or his music in general, you know, without actually having to pay, it's damn near impossible.
Oh, really?
To find anything, because he always had this thing where, you know, he's going to have 100% creative and artistic control over all of his material. In fact, I read an article that they're going to open his vaults and they could release an album a year for the next century.
Wow.
That's how prolific he was. But when it came to anything that he had personally written as, you know, his own music or, you know, projects that he was working on, NPG, the New Power Generation, his production company had everything on lockdown to the point where, say, for example, if I were using a video of somebody performing Purple Rain at a karaoke bar or at a drag queen show.
Right.
In fact, I saw one last year when I went to RuPaul's Drag Race in Orlando, and someone was doing Purple Rain. I think it was Adore Delano, and I had it on Instagram, and almost immediately, like 15 minutes later, completely cut out because
it was
Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm. Found that shit and pulled it off.
Pulled it off. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah, you can't find anything on YouTube. You can't really find anything aside from, like, really weird, kind of wonky. It almost kind of looks like spam websites. But, you know, hey, to his credit, they're not stealing his music. And they probably never will because, you know, he was all about, you know, it was even to the point where he changed his name to the love symbol.
Right, for that reason, right?
Correct. And then he got smart where he was saying, okay, well, Warner Brothers is going to have me contractually obligated to this deal that I no longer want to have. So I'm just going to churn out a bunch of albums until I finally figure out, you know, they finally like, okay, fine, we'll
right.
take the kibosh off of this contract. But
I don't want to be one of these people that when somebody dies jumps on the bandwagon and says, oh, I'm the biggest fucking Prince fan in the world. Like, I love Prince's hits. I remember them fondly from my childhood. Bat Dance, you know, all of the hits from the 80s primarily and even into the 90s. I'm not, you know, I can't say that I owned all his albums, that I was even a fan of
if you did own all his albums, I'd be very, very impressed.
Yeah, I know. You need, like, a storage shed to keep them all in.
He's got, like, 40, 50 fucking albums that I'm even aware of.
Our friend Jamie was calling him a genius, you know. I remember him telling us, like, you know, in, like, the mid-90s, like, no, Prince is one of the greatest musical geniuses. Still, like, one of the... And I'm like, what? He's still making albums? Like, not only is he making albums, he makes fucking several albums a year. Doesn't even release them, usually. I mean, he just makes so much music. I know he was a huge fan, calling him a genius for a long, long time. People are really upset about it, and understandably so. Like, you know, I mean, it's kind of legend, like one of those legends from our childhood.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We don't even know what happened yet.
No, apparently they're doing the autopsy, and there's obviously rumors flying around and everything else. But it's really not about
that.
Doesn't
matter.
I mean, you know, like when David Bowie died, or when Lemmy died, or you know, any of the multitude of celebrities that have died in this past year. Alan Rickman, for example.
Yeah.
God, 2016 has been a motherfucker. You can stop now, 2016, with killing all of our favorite people.
It is weird. It's like David Bowie dies, Alan Rickman dies, Prince dies, number one movies are Zootopia and Jungle Book, Donald Trump's going to be fucking president. What the fuck is going on?
Like, I don't know, man.
It's the weirdest fucking year.
It really is.
Good God.
But like I was... Like I had listened to last week, and I was actually very fortunate enough to go with our friend Jamie to a Prince show when he was here, and I want to say like 2006 or 7.
But you actually saw him in concert?
Oh, yes, I did.
No shit.
And it was fucking badass. Oh, and I didn't go in with any real expectations. Right. Like, you can appreciate, like, okay, yeah, everyone loves him, he does great albums, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But to actually see him and just fucking wail on the guitar like he did, I'm very, very fortunate that I was even able to get that opportunity. And so, and in fact, Jamie also does his own podcast, his own show, Movie Geeks United, which I know that you've appeared on times before. And
Yeah, I had a little piece of that experience with Prince. I never saw him live, but I will say, like, every year during the Super Bowl, they announce who's going to play the halftime show, and usually I'm like, eh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
That's how I felt when they announced Prince. And I got to say, though, like, that was one of the more memorable halftime shows ever, in my opinion. Like, as far as, like, musically, this guy knows his shit. Like, this guy can play.
Plus, it was raining, which worked out fabulously for him, number one.
This is not NSYNC and Britney Spears or somebody like that. Like, this guy's got chops.
Yeah,
like,
he's got chops. He can sing. He can perform. He is a performer.
Right.
He just runs with it. He expected that caliber of entertainment and professionalism with everyone that he associated himself with, that he mentored.
And he did that thing where he took that big old guitar and went behind the little screen, and so it looked like he had this big devil dick. Like, I know he knew what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he absolutely did that on purpose.
Right.
I'm going to go behind a screen, and it's going to look like I got a big old devil cock that I'm playing. And
right.
That's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah, there's only, like, a few... There's, like, a handful of things that I, like, learned via these people, you know, about sex, like Madonna, Prince... Marilyn Chambers, whoever was Emmanuel on the fucking Skinemax movies. But you get my drift. I mean, like, he's a little short, diminutive guy that's got the little pencil mustache.
Nothing.
You would never think that he was going to be...
Minneapolis or wherever the fuck he was from.
Yeah, like, he's next to Kirby Puckett. He's like the only other famous black guy that everybody universally loves that doesn't beat his kids. Adrian Peterson, you piece of shit.
It's crazy. Lived there his whole life, too.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck Hollywood. Fuck New York. I'm from Minnesota. Thank you.
So,
by all accounts, a really awesome guy. Everybody's pouring out in the last week that has ever worked with him or met him. Like, by all accounts, just a really solid guy, incredible performer. It's just a fucking shame.
Yeah. So, but his music will live on.
Not on YouTube.
Not on YouTube, but go buy his damn albums. And in closing, Chris, it's always a pleasure to have you here. And I think that we'll be able to do a podcast next week. Yeah. Assuming that you're not jerking in front of my yard or anything.
That's not going to stop me.
Okay, well, it's not
going to stop. I've got one hand for a microphone, buddy.
But at the very least, we do appreciate your patronage. This is the Untitled Movie Podcast on morelikeradio.com. If you have comments, suggestions, etc., you can always tweet at me at @Mark_Nixon_NIXON. No relation to the president. He's a piece of shit. Or at Ramcat Jackson, RAMCAT Jackson, just how it sounds. You know how it's spelled. But we will be back in due time. As always, we appreciate your patronage. Hippo Juice is coming up next. Have a good week.
Take that off now, I think.